Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. To all of our friends on Blog Talk Radio. Wow. Don't do that. We're glad to have you with us tonight. It's going to be a good night all night. We are post triumphal entry and pre-resurrection, death, burial, and resurrection. And we're going to have a good study tonight. And hopefully everybody receives the study in the spirit that it's going to be studied. Some of them may not. But when you know the truth sets you free. Here we go. Let's see if YouTube was going to make it this time.
Oh, they didn't start last time.
Well, looks like we made it. Welcome, YouTube. Good to have you with us tonight. It's good to have you with us every night.
Amen.
And, you know, Easter, Resurrection Sunday, the Passover, all of those words you can give it, is such, what is that? And how do I get rid of it?
What is it?
Well, all of a sudden, it gave me the opportunity to answer viewer questions live and start a poll.
Wow. Well, that's interesting.
Say something. I'm saying something right now. What does that look like?
I'm not saying I'm on Facebook posting on the Facebook.
You know, it's a new thing.
Hi, Richard.
For watching. There it is. Very interesting. We'll see how that turns out. This is not Little Richard. He was quite a singer. And Richard Miller's a singer.
Richard Miller's a singer?
Oh, yeah, he's a singer. He's a singer for sure.
He's going to hear you sing some tunes to us.
And, but this is Richard in the fast lane. Welcome, welcome. Brother Roger, good to have you with us. Good to see you made it. So I got something new tonight here. Start a question and answer in the comments. So I have no idea how it works. It just popped up, so I put a question in. If you have an answer, you know, then put it in there. Just remember, you need to have Bible and verse proof of your answer. That's all. So somebody answer that. How do I know you sing? Well, you sent me a song or something, bro. Didn't you send me a song you made on YouTube or something?
Come on, Zoom and sing us some big gospel.
Maybe you're just a poet, but you wrote some pretty good stuff today. I saw it. Tuesday? I missed it. Now, welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I don't know. I don't know. I can tell my spirit man is already going wide open, and my tongue is saying, Can you just slow down? I'm trying to keep up.
Had a little bit of sleep and now you're wound right up.
Now, I don't know if you know this or not. The donkey is the only animal that has a cross on its back. And I think that's very interesting because Jesus rode a donkey into Jerusalem for the triumphal entry. A donkey was what kings rode in the time of peace. Oh, I thought that was you, my brother. Because it was good, and I figured that was just you out there hammering it every night out there on the road and making it happen. But think about that, the donkey. Now, I have this question, and Sister Leanne was a veterinarian technician, so I'm going to draw upon her years of knowledge and wisdom and understanding.
It's a small animal,
though. Has the donkey always had a cross on its back, or did it just show up at the triumphal entry?
Well, that I don't know. That was before my
You're time. A woman, and you're the wife, so you know everything. That's an interesting statement, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Does anybody have a picture of the donkey's back in Moses' day? I thought you shared a song with me one night, brother. Maybe you didn't, but it's all right. I'm not offended. Isn't it something? Did somebody come up with a picture of a donkey and with Moses? I saw it on the internet. It's got to be real.
They had that back then, too? In their Polaroid cameras?
They had Polaroid cameras as they came out of Egypt. Egypt was very advanced. They had Pol and a Roid. And so then it was a Polaroid, all right? But, you know, you'd have to find a picture that somebody drew, a picture that somebody painted, you know, a painting or something. I think it's just very interesting that there was a cross on that donkey's back, and that's what Jesus rode into the city on. And a king in peacetime rode a donkey. When it was wartime, he rode the fastest, strongest steed in the king's, what would you call it, the king's herd, or what you call a flock of horses, herd?
Mm-hmm.
Flock of horses. A herd of horses.
Flock of horses. Mm-hmm. That works. We know what that means.
Can anybody see that question and answer question at the top of the page?
Yeah. Yeah. That's
can you click on it and do something? Does it give you the ability to answer it?
No.
What's the purpose of putting it up there?
It says ask something, so it just gives us the ability to ask another question.
Oh, you can't see the question I put in?
Yeah.
But you can't answer it?
No. No, when you click on it, then it drops down another thing that says ask something. So we only have the ability to...
Yes. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it gave me the opportunity to do a poll too, but I don't want to take a poll about when Jesus died. Why not? Nothing new under the sun. I will do a test. We can ask something. May peace and comfort be with you all. Amen. Well, let's get started because I can tell I'm going to have lots of time tonight. Because of our subject matter. So, Let's start with our confession. Are you ready?
Welcome, Rebecca. Glad you're here.
Welcome, Rebecca. It's good to have you with us. Everybody hold your Bible up. We're going to get started because we got a long ways to go tonight, and we might as well just get her going. Ready? If you weren't here for the 4th anniversary celebration, go back and watch it. It was good. And if you didn't get to celebrate the pie, then go buy you a key lime pie. That's what we celebrated it. Very delicious. And the bulldog even likes key lime pie.
He does.
He was eating my pie right down the other night. So happy birthday, happy anniversary to all of you. Thank you for helping us make it happen. Our hearts are filled with appreciation and gratitude for each of you that's been a part of this over this last 4 years. It's amazing. Here we go. Hold your Bible up. Let's make our confession. This is my Bible. I believe what God's word says. I am what Jesus says I am, because he is the great I am. I go do what he tells me to do. The Holy Spirit of God, my resident teacher, is making his word come alive in my life tonight. I receive the word of God and plant him as a seed in the good soil of my heart, producing 100-fold return and more in my spirit, soul, and body, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Jesus. I like that final Jesus, don't I? I should put an amen in there because it's not in there for some reason. And then we should give Jesus a couple exclamation points. Yeah. There we go. Got me. All right, here we go. The next title is, what in the world? I just saw a bug. It's not that warm. Those little fruit flies never leave. It's winter time. No bugs are allowed. It's okay to believe in Wednesday. What a title, huh? It's okay to believe in Wednesday. Now, you might look at that and say, Pastor, what in the world? Somebody put 15 minutes down. And that'll be our starting time so we can put a timestamp in, about 15 minutes. What in the world is this? What in the world is this all about? Well, I don't know about you, but many times throughout my young life growing up, I sat in the church on Good Friday and said, how in the world did Jesus spend 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale? Saturday afternoon. I'm trying to go 24 hours, you know. And then, of course, we've had many intellectuals tell us, well, you know, it wasn't actually a full 24 hours. And they give you all this religious gobbledygook. And I remember thinking, what in the world? This doesn't add up. And there's a cool story to this because I am sharing. I'm a very sharing person.
You are.
So one day I studied it out a little bit and I'm like, Jesus was not crucified on Friday. And I didn't have all this detailed information about it, but I got to where I just believed the Bible. Did you ever get to where you just actually believed the Bible? It's actually a really good process to do. So we're going to talk about this. It's okay to believe in Wednesday. Everybody say it. I want to know the truth.
I want to know the truth.
I want to know the truth. So let's read the verse of scripture that talks about this. Because when you know the truth will set you free. So first of all, we're going to go to John chapter 8, and we're going to read verses 31 and 32. John 8, 31 and 32. Make sure you keep your good verse list tonight, because you're going to want to be able to study this again, because it's going to take some good verses of scripture to get it done. John 8, 31 and 32. Then the Jews, Jesus help me. All right. Shut. But just pause for a minute, pray in the Holy Ghost. I got to get my tongue in line. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered. Whoops, that's not the right thing.
It'd be all right.
Let's just pause one more time. Drink a coffee. John 8:31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him. You do know that not all the Jews believed in him, right? If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Now that if is the biggest word in the whole Bible. Because it's if makes it all dependent on you, on me. It makes it personal. You don't get to heaven on anybody else's coattails. You don't get to heaven on your grandma's apron string. You only get to heaven because you have a relationship with God Almighty. Amen? You abide in my word. You are my disciples indeed. And then you shall know the truth. I know then isn't there. But you can literally put it there. And then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How? By abiding in the word of God. Now, give me just a second here. Hold on. Give me just a second here. Hold on. I just reached back here on my shelf and pulled out four very powerful books. Number one, my pastor's book. It's a big, thick one. It's called Building a Supernatural Church. This isn't the word of God. This is by a man, right? John Bevere, Driven by Eternity. Great book. If you've never read it, get it. It'll change your life if you believe it. The Gifts and Ministries of the Holy Spirit, Dr. Lester Sumrall. It's a great book. Get it. It'll bless your life. God, the Covenant, and the Contradiction, Kenneth Copeland. It's a great book. Read it. But every one of these men of God are going to tell you, I'm not God. I'm a man. My book might have to be updated. God's word will never, ever have to be updated. It stands alone, right? when you know the truth, when you abide in my word, then, because if requires a then. You can't just say if without having a then. It's automatic. It's just language. So in order to know the truth, you have to be abiding in the word of God. These men all wrote these books to help you understand how to abide in this word. Timothy, go there with me real quickly. These are not new verses. You and I have been together enough that there's probably not too many new verses that we're going to talk about. We've already talked about most of them. And our challenge now is to grow up in God, right? How many know? The baby, when he first starts eating, has got mushed up baby food. But it's not long, and you give him a little piece of bread. You can chew on that, suck it, and give him a little mashed taters. And then all the male children yell and scream with hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the potatoes. Amen. And then, you know, you're getting them into more food. But there comes a point where you no longer give them a cinnamon and sugar sandwich. You say, no, you're eating the hamburger. You got to grow up in what you eat. And the same in this word. Watch this. 2 Timothy 2. And we're going to go to, my goodness, just read the whole chapter. 2 Timothy 1 and 2, and then 14 and 15. 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. What's the whole purpose of what Paul just said? You got to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. You got to know this book so that you can teach others also. Wait, not the pastor. You. There's no free pass saying, well, as long as pastor knows it, and I can say amen to him, God gives me a free pass. No, he expects you to know the truth. 14, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What is it that God, that the Holy Spirit of God is saying to you and I in these set of verses? Hold on, didn't do that right. 15, now compare. That we must study to show ourselves approved. The Holy Spirit of God, through the Apostle Paul, says in this verses, remind them, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Some might say that today, that might be me striving about words to no profit. However, every year, it seems to become very important to me to help people realize that if you ever sat in a Good Friday service trying to figure out how Jesus died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday, and he rose 3 days later on Sunday morning, how it worked. There's a whole lot of people out there that are like, I don't get it. Yeah. Well, wait a minute.
And they're afraid to question
it. And they're afraid to question it because the church, church buildings, church organizations, have had a Good Friday service. And they don't want to go against the church. I just got a word for you. Good Friday happened because it was a good holiday on a Friday afternoon and a good thing that somebody did somewhere and said, yeah, that'll work in the work week. If you want to know the truth, you have to stick with the Word of God. And the whole purpose of me saying this to you tonight is, it is okay to challenge what it is you've been taught and trained your whole life. And say, I know that's what I've always believed, but what does the Bible actually say? Because when you know the truth will set you free. And see, when you get this down, I'll give you another reference. People say, I'm suffering like Job. No, you're suffering for your whole life. Job suffered for a couple weeks and then had to deal with some grief and sorrow because he lost his kids, but the suffering only lasted for 2 weeks. And then God restored everything in his life. And he lived to be 200 years old. The spirit of religion wants you to believe you have to suffer like Job. All right, 2 weeks and no more suffering. Then the God of restoration steps in. So what is it that we're doing? I'm actually kicking a holy cow here, Pastor.
Yes, you.
But my pastor, you might be a pastor. You might be saying, yeah, but Pastor, how in the world am I going to have a Wednesday afternoon Good Friday service? You're not. You're going to have a Wednesday afternoon service, but it won't sound right. But it will be biblically accurate. It'll be biblically accurate. Now, Pastor, does this really make sense? Watch. Ready? Matthew 12. Did I give the wrong days? Is it actually Thursday? Friday afternoon, Saturday afternoon. No. Thursday afternoon, Friday afternoon, Saturday afternoon. 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. I'm going to read it to you in just a minute. I got it written down here. Matthew chapter 12. Look at this. This is the reference point. We want to know the truth. And I would encourage you. You might say, you know, this ain't no big deal, Pastor. Well, listen to me. Because you're going to find some people in your life that's going to be like, why do we do Good Friday? Don't give them a religious answer. Don't tell them that's when Jesus died. He didn't. Because now you mess up their mind because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, actually Jesus didn't say it in Matthew chapter 12. Jesus said it standing in front of some people teaching them. Verse 38. Some of the scribes and Pharisees answered saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. He answered and said to them, an evil and an adulterous generation seeks after a sign. Jesus was standing in front of them. What more sign do you need? He was doing the works of his Father. What more of a sign do you need? He breathed. I lost my place. 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. How do you make that say anything else except that? Look at your Bible. Those are red letters words. Those are Jesus' own words. And he says it very specifically. exactly 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth. Now watch. Hold on just a second. Matthew chapter 12. And that is verse number 40. 12. What? 12. Something didn't work right. Oh, there you go. Hold on. I'm getting there. Matthew chapter 12, and we're going down here to verse 40. Watch. I'm going to put it in the compare mode on my Bible program and read the different translation. King James, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. CEV, he was in the stomach of the big fish for 3 days, and the Son of Man will be deep in the earth for 3 days and three nights. The ESV, the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The GW, the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. Nobody's leaving the numbers out. The Jubilee Bible, whereas Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the earth. The literal translation, the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Hold on. Let me get down here. There's a really good one down here. Porque como estuvo unas en el vientre del monstruo marino tres días y tres noches, así estará el hijo del hombre tres días y tres noches en el corazón de la tierra. I mean, even the Mexicans got it right. Hold on, I got to get my Bible back. 41, the men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment. What did I do, put the wrong day? All right. With the generation and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment for this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here, speaking of Jesus. And then he goes right into, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and he finds none. And he said, I'll return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. And he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first, so shall it also be with this wicked generation. Remember, he called them a wicked, adulterous generation because they were seeking a sign. He's like, you're going to get seven more demons. Don't you just love Jesus? Now.
He did not mention any words.
Now, watch this. I'm on a program called Ask the Pastor. It's a live TV program. We're sitting at a desk. There's five of us. Five, right? Yeah, it was five. And we had a moderator. And I fought him and fought him, and I didn't want to go, didn't want to be a part of it, didn't want to be on TV, didn't want to be in front of the camera, nothing. And then my dear brother James Randolph called. They called James and said, James, we need somebody tonight. He said, call Pastor Samuel Cotto. He'll go. So this wonderful senior citizen lady calls me. What was her name? Mary? No. Wow. Anyways, she was in charge of calling the pastors. And she called me. She said, Pastor Sam, a dear friend of mine, James Randolph, told me today that you would be glad to come and fill in and help us on Ask the Pastor. And I said, did he really? She said, yeah, you can deal with him later, but will you please be here? Mm-hmm. God bless you, ma'am. She's a wonderful lady. I will get her name before this program's done. Anyways, so that on this certain date, it was Easter, you know, it was the resurrection over the time of year. The question comes in. And the person on the phone said, I can't figure this out. For years of my life, I've been trying to figure out how you get 3 days out of Friday afternoon. The host, he doesn't usually answer questions, turns and starts over on the other side. I'm so glad he did, because I'm the closest to the host, and usually he turned to me, and I'm glad he went over there. And so that guy gives the normal religious answer, and then this another guy, and then that guy next to me, and he comes to me, and I'm like, well, I'll tell you how I see it, Dr. Jolliffe. I want to hear your astute opinion on this, because you're a very trained Bible scholar. He said, very smooth. And then he gave this explanation. Now, I got this explanation from Brother Terry Mize. This is great, great testimony. I'm going to read this verbatim from Brother Terry's post that happened somewhere here in the next couple of days, because he's posted it every year. Some of my friends are really interested in me writing a note, a post on this vast and extremely important piece of Bible history, which God writes in advance. The book of Matthew, what happened in Matthew was before Jesus died. I have hesitated to write on this form of Facebook because many purport themselves to be friends and Christians. The truth is that there are many imposters here, and therefore you can end up casting your precious pearls before swine. Easter, or Resurrection Sunday, as I have said, is the most important holiday or holy day to Christians, and the absolute foundation and cornerstone of the entire Christian religion. It is what we base everything we are and that we believe on, namely the resurrection from the dead of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As I said, God writes history in advance, and he writes it very clearly. Here the dilemma is addressed by the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 21. If Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead do not rise. I mean, he's being like a Philadelphia lawyer here.
Yeah.
For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also are who are fallen asleep in Christ have just perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. He didn't put this in, but I'm going to. Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to put it over here. Colossians chapter 2. Now watch this. 13 through 15. We're talking about the resurrection of the dead. Colossians 2, 13 through 15. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Somebody shout hallelujah. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. He's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. I love this. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in, you got to see this. Whoops. All right, so maybe you don't. 2020, I love it. Is it 2020 a good deal? Perfect vision. Hold on. It's right here. Nope, it's right here. You got to hear this. This is the Message translation. Colossians chapter 2. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets. In hell, that happened. King, who went to another country and defeated the enemy, when he brought them back, he marched them through the streets naked as a sign of his conquering them. I'm back to Brother Terry. God is willing to have his veracity checked out or even tested in this area. He makes that clear. Pause. God doesn't have a problem with you asking him a question and saying, can you prove that to me? He doesn't have a problem with that. Isaiah chapter 1. Come now and 1:17. Come now and let us reason together. That's God telling us that. Isaiah 1:17. Even though many in Hollywood and politics and other walks of life believe and even say that Christians are mental midgets and are people who park their brains, Ted Turner and the illustrious Jesse the Body Ventura, the ex-professional wrestler, ex-governor of Minnesota, have said that Christianity is just a crutch for the weak-minded. Keep in mind that Ventura made his living off of the weak-minded as a phony, a fraud, a deceiver, as a pro wrestler. An admitted fake says Christians are deceived and weak-minded.
Really?
That's a good question, Richard. We'll get to that. Watch this. The fact is that Christians are not ignorant, but intelligent and brave creatures to see the invisible, believe the incredible, and do the impossible. That's a powerful statement. Christians are not ignorant, but intelligent and brave creatures to see the invisible, believe the incredible, and do the impossible. God said, do communion every day here. Do you know how many people criticize me for that? A lot of people. But we saw the invisible. We believed the incredible. We have done the impossible. And now 1,800 times later, hundreds, maybe thousands of people have received their first communion right here on this program. Keep reading. When the Pharisees came to Jesus, they shed. They had a shed. They said, show us a sign. Jesus said, there will be no sign, but the sign of Jonah. He then interpreted that Old Testament passage of Jonah being 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale as but a picture of the one test to which God would submit to prove his veracity and that he would keep his word, namely the death and resurrection of his son, Jesus. Prophecies for centuries had declared that after 3 days, he would come out of that tomb with an explosion that's still rocking the world today that made Richter scales run wild. God would submit to that and to that alone as proof of his ability and his faithfulness to his word. Want to say it with me? When you know the truth will make you free. Truth will set you free.
Jeez. Amen.
I don't know why you did that. In this simplified Facebook explanation of this great historical miracle, let us establish and remember a few facts or rules that we must deal with. This is a great interpretation. First, let us look at the facts and the drama of the Jewish feast days. God designated the feast days, or the set times of the Lord, as the vicarious sacrifice pointed to a day to come when the one worthy enough to redeem us all would be offered. The vicarious sacrifice had to match a feast day. These set times of the Lord were shadows pointing to more significant events. First was the Sabbath, a specific day of the week in the Old Testament, but transferred to an act in the New Testament. Sabbath came to typify the day when faith could save. There's a Sabbath rest that remains for you and me, Book of Hebrews. Ready? The other set times were Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles. Those are all feasts. Intelligent Christians watch these Jewish feast days for significant meaning. So say it with me. Thank you, Brother Terry. I'm an intelligent Christian. Amen. One of the greatest proofs of God's living nature is the struggle recorded in the first century and the attempts to keep Jesus from being crucified on the Passover. I want you to hear what he's saying to this. You got all of these feasts that God's got to put in order for Jesus to be crucified on Passover. And God said to the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 12, this is the beginning of months. This is going to happen. On this day, do this, and I will pass over you. When the blood is placed on the doorpost and the mantle, the death angel will pass over and you'll be given life. One of the greatest proofs of God's living nature is the struggle recorded in the first century in the attempts to keep Jesus from being crucified on the Passover. Jesus' disciples wanted him to go to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Tabernacles. He said, no, my time has not yet come. The set times of the Lord are shadows cast prophetically, leading to a real substance. If you follow a shadow to its origin, you will find the substance casting the shadow. Paul said that the feast days were prophetic shadows pointing to the substance, Jesus. Those are Paul's words. Don't worship the shadow when you have the substance, Jesus. I don't know why the dinger didn't ding. Hope you haven't been waiting a long time, brother. Here is where God had to write history in advance. Jesus had to be the Passover lamb. Ready? Before he could be first fruits and unleavened bread. In order for Jesus to be the fulfillment of these feasts in order, in other words, to be the Passover lamb, first fruits, God had to cause this in a year and a week, when Passover had to occur in a week, when exactly 7 hours would go by before first fruits. Jesus was the first fruits of those resurrected, but he's also the Passover lamb. This is good stuff, isn't it? Mm-hmm. The set times or feast were not by our calendar, but by the Jewish calendar, which was based on the movements of the moon. Like our months, the Hebrew months could begin on any day of the week. Now listen, Passover was always the 14th day of the first month. So it could also be on any day of the week. Wasn't on a specific day of the week.
Right.
Unleavened bread began the next day, the 15th day of the first month. First fruits was the first day of the week, our Sunday, following the beginning of unleavened bread. Are you still with me? I'll read it again. Passover was always the 14th day of the first month, so it could be on any day of the week. Unleavened bread began the next day, the 15th day of the first month. First fruits was the first day of the week, our Sunday, following the beginning of unleavened bread. He was the first fruits. We just read that. Jesus said, the only sign God gave was the sign of the prophet Jonah, that he would be in the tomb 3 days and 3 nights, exactly 72 hours. Paul said, the feast were shadows pointing to Jesus. He was or is our Passover. So he had to have his blood shed, spilled, paid on no other day than Passover. Just letting it soak in. He was the first fruits of those who rise to eternal life, so he had to rise on the first day of the week following Passover, the elements God was dealing with. So listen now. This is thrilling. As history marched on year after year, God had to pick the exact year where all these feasts would fall on the right days. Wow. He does write history in advance. This could not have happened the year before or the year after. God had to send Jesus to die on Passover. This is amazing. Isn't this amazing? I hope you're enjoying this.
We are.
We are. That's right. If anybody doesn't like communion, they have free will. That's right. Here we go. I'm just checking the comments. Watch. He had to be taken down and put in the tomb before sundown to become the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He had to rise exactly 72 hours later, and it must be on Sunday, the first day of the week, in order for him to become the first fruits of the resurrection to give us hope of the harvest to come when we shall rise, as he wrote. For God to be accurate, there was no option. He had to pick the time and have this fail-safe vicarious sacrifice brought to the point of dying, prophesied in a year when Passover occurred on a Wednesday. Okay? Stay with me now. The old church idea. He died on Friday at noon and rose Sunday morning at 6 a.m. That is only 42 hours. Here is what actually happened. The Jewish day begins and ends at sundown, 6 p.m. to 6 p.m., 24 hours later. That's the Jewish day. Hebrew calendar based on moon phases. First day of the week, our Sunday, Saturday sundown till Sunday sundown. Okay? Sabbath equals Friday sundown till Saturday sundown. Passover is always the 14th day of the first month of springtime. Unleavened bread began the next day, the 15th day, and runs 7 days. First fruits equals the first day of the week, our Sunday, following the beginning of unleavened bread. Ready? Pentecost means 50th, or the Feast of Harvest. 50 days after first fruits. After Jesus rose, the disciples had 50 days to be in the upper room in Jerusalem to receive the Holy Spirit. Feast of Trumpets. The trump will blow for the rapture. The Day of Atonement. In tribulation, Israel will recognize the one whom they pierced. The Feast of Tabernacles will be kept every year in a restored Jerusalem. There is no dual covenant. That's a whole lot of words right there, isn't it? Should I read it again?
Yes.
Right, I'm going to read it again. I this is a great study by one of God's great leaders, Terry Myers. This man's got his stuff together. Hebrew calendar based on the moon phases. First day of the week, our Sunday, is Saturday sundown till Sunday sundown. That's the first day of the week. Sabbath is Friday sundown till Saturday sundown. Passover, always the 14th day of the first month, and that's springtime. Unleavened bread began the next day after Passover, the 15th day, and it ran for 7 days. First fruits was the first day of the week, our Sunday, following the beginning of unleavened bread the day after Passover. Passover happened, the next day unleavened bread started. Pentecost means 50th, or Feast of Harvest. 50 days after first fruits, after Jesus rose, the disciples had 50 days to be in the upper room in Jerusalem to receive the Holy Spirit. The Feast of Trumpets. The trump will blow for the rapture, the Day of Atonement. During the tribulation, Israel will recognize the one whom they pierced, the Day of Atonement. Feast of Tabernacles will be kept every year in a restored Jerusalem. There is no dual covenant. The Day of Atonement is always in September. So, Jesus had the Last Supper or communion, Passover feast with the disciples on Tuesday night after sundown. Passover had begun. They came to the garden, took him Tuesday night, beat him, tortured him, tried him Wednesday, and crucified him, and he died and had to be taken down and put in the grave before sundown Wednesday as Passover ends. Therefore, he became unleavened bread from sundown Wednesday to sundown Saturday. Jews still hide unleavened bread for the kids to hunt and find for 72 hours or 3 days, then take it out again. Saturday at sundown, he came out of the grave. He rose. He became first fruits. The words early light we tend to believe is sunrise. It's translated as twilight. 50 days later, Pentecost, or Feast of Harvest, at or after sundown, 3,000 souls had been saved or harvested. I hope this helps. It's very late. Must have been a late day if you posted it. That's
he wrote
that. Jerry did, yeah. Let's get it again. Jesus had the Last Supper or communion or Passover feast with the disciples on Tuesday night after sundown. Passover had begun. They came to the garden because he went out immediately and began to pray, and they took him Tuesday night. Remember? Peter was warming himself by the fire. He was like, why can't you stay awake with me? Well, they've been up all day. It's now night. You know, they're sleeping. And sorrow was on him because he said they were going to die. So sorrow has a big deal to make you sleepy. So they took him to Pilate. They took him to Herod. Took him back to Pilate. Tried him Wednesday. Crucified him. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And remember, when the soldier came, because they had to have him down by sundown, he was already dead, because he said, it is finished, and he gave up the ghost, he gave up his spirit, and died, because he said, no man takes my life, I give it. Passover was ending, Wednesday at dark. Therefore, he became unleavened bread from sundown Wednesday to sundown Saturday. The Jews still hide unleavened bread for the kids to hunt. Saturday at sundown, he came out of the grave. Let's read. Now, Pastor, why are you saying all this to us? Do you know how much of a relief it was to me to hear a mighty man of God that I trust and truly, truly trust him, Dr. Jolliffe, I really trusted this man, say, hold it, you're not wrong. It's not wrong to believe the truth.
Right.
So that's why this title, it's okay to believe in Wednesday. It's okay. Wait, it's okay to know the truth. You're a pastor, everybody's going to have a Good Friday service. That doesn't change God. And if you want to go to a Good Friday service, then go to it. All right, that's, you're not going to be hurt. What the purpose of me saying this to anybody listening, and you look at this title and say, what in the world does that believe? What does that mean? It gives you permission to say, I can trust this Bible. Jesus said 3 days and three nights. And every time my intelligent mind said Friday night, Saturday, that's not 3 days and three nights, you were right when you said something is out of order here. There's many people that say there's inconsistencies in the Bible, and there's not one. If there was any inconsistencies in the Word of God, you couldn't believe that God is God. There can't be any inconsistencies. So the men that have written those books, the inconsistencies of the Word of God, they did it to get you to buy the book because of the title. I never read the book, but it better say on the first page, there are no inconsistencies in God's holy word. These are doctrines that people have been confused on, and there is no consistencies. Amen, Richard. One more proof. The truth will set you free. Now, I had done many days myself of saying 3 days and three nights. Just, I didn't think anything about all those feasts. So I'm like, well, we know. Well, let's just read it. Let's read it, and then I'll say that in a minute. Let's read John 19:38, and we'll read through John 20:18. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission, so he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. That was a lot of fragrance. They took the body of Jesus, bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. In the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day. The Jews' preparation day. What was the preparation day? Unleavened bread. What? On the first day of the week, that's after sundown, Saturday, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark, saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She ran and came to Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they've taken away the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they've laid him. Peter went out, and the other disciple is John. He's writing it.
The one Jesus loved,
yeah. And they were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. Nothing to see here. Just keep moving. Just keep moving. Just keep moving. Us keep moving. Right? I lost my place. Quit looking on. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Simon Peter came following and went into the tomb. John was a chicken and Peter wasn't. I'm just joining in on the rivalry.
Yeah.
The handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded together in a place by itself. Just took it off, folded it up nice, neatly, placed it right there, saying. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. John saying, I believe, the rest of them did. I love it. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside of the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. Don't you love this part of the story? I love it. She saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. They said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, Because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. Woo, glory, I got the Holy Ghost all over me as soon as I said it. Turn around real quick, love, to see if you can see him standing there. And did not know it was Jesus. 15, Jesus said, Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. And if you have a red-lettered Bible, it's red. And if you have a Pastor San Jose Cotto Bible, it's circled. And it has a line off to the sign that said, God knows my name. Can you shut the noise down long enough so that you can hear him call your name? She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. Mary knew his voice. Jesus said to her, Do not cling to me. You know how women are. Oh! For I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. One more proof, hearing God's holy word, that God wants you and me to be one with him. Jesus, on the morning of the resurrection, said, my God and your God, my Father and your Father. You don't need get out of hell fire insurance, folks. You need to be introduced to the relationship with God, your Father, who's going to come and live in here and lead you from the inside out. This isn't about hell. This is about accepting God and now realizing he lives within you. That's what this is all about. 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Matthew chapter 28. Hold on. Oh, how much time we have. We got all night, right? Well, I don't know. I do know. I'm going to start with Matthew 27:45. Matthew chapter 27, verse 45. Matthew 27:45. This is still Jesus on the cross. I love this part of the word of God. So let's read it. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood there, when they heard it, they said, the man is calling for Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. When it's ripped from top to bottom, the rip marks are only going to be one way. And everybody standing looking is going to say, that was ripped from the top down, not the bottom up. Nobody could deny it. That veil was 20 feet tall. No way no man could do that. It's 4 inches thick. The earthquake and the rocks were split. The graves were opened. Many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, coming out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many. Many infallible proofs. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus, he's nailed to the cross, saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Many women who followed Jesus from Galilee ministering were there, looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. So James and John's mother was there. 57, when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself also had become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate. Now, a poor man's not going to get in to see Pilate, but this rich man was able to get in and see Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. On the next day, followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, remember while he was still alive how the deceiver said, after 3 days, I will arise. They're prophesying it. 3 days. Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people he was risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, you have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Now think about it. The man who made the rocks is laying on the inside of that tomb. Jesus is the creator. You ain't going to stop him from coming up. Keep reading. After the Sabbath, the first day of the week, began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other came to see the tomb. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear and became like dead men. They went out in the Holy Ghost. The angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay." This is an angel. "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. Verse 9, "As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, 'Rejoice!'" I think a lot of people forget this appearing of Jesus to them. As they went, he showed up and was like, "Rejoice!" "So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" Don't you just love the majestic word of God?
Yeah.
I'll give you those verses. I read from Matthew 27:45 through 28:10. And now, Luke 24:1-12. Thank God for Brother Terry. But most of all, believe the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
What did I say? 24?
24:1-12.
Well, let's read 23:44 through 24:12. I just love this. Don't you love this? This is going to be one of them you want to listen to several times. We'll put a timestamp in there so you can go right to the beginning of the message. Watch this. Would they say 44? Is that what I said? Yeah. "It was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour." Remember, that was a complete eclipse. Lasted 3 hours. "There was also one of those in Nineveh." When you go back in history, it's one of the signs. "The sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two." Torn from the top to the bottom. Yeah, it's like all the frayed, all the material will be frayed as though it was ripped from the top down. That's why I've said to you over and over, the priest that day that we're serving, we're like, they ran home and the wife said, "What are you doing here?" Because the priests were given duties, you know, hold on just a second. By the blood of Jesus, I cover this broadcast, and I cover our time together right now. By the blood of the Lamb, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I cover us right now in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Amen.
What? The priests, when they served in the temple, they went and stayed there. They didn't come and go from their house, because once they'd been purified, they had to stay purified, so they stayed there. But there was, I don't have any fact. I wasn't there. I didn't have a video camera. But you know, some of them, when that veil was torn from the top to the bottom, them boys put it in B for boogie and left, man. They were gone. They were like, are you kidding me? And I don't know this for a fact, and maybe their commitment to being a priest was greater. They just went and hid somewhere inside the temple, but there was nobody allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. And there was some shaking priests going, oh my God in heaven. And they were like, go tell the high priest. No, you go tell him. Come on, they're humans. And the most revered place for the Jewish people was the Holy of Holies. I have no idea where I'm even at. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breast and returned. That's interesting. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things take place. Behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to his decision. Indeed, to their decision, indeed, he was from Arimathea, city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate, asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock, where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. See, if we don't reread this to ourselves, we forget some of these very important facts that are a part of this that help us see what this is really all about. That's why this answer from Brother Terry is so astute. Amazing. And that day I asked the pastor, when Pastor Giles got done, I said, yeah, that. God bless Richard Jolly. I love you, sir. Luke 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. Hundredfold return. They were bringing very costly items, and Mary had broken the box, very costly, year's wages box of ointment, and put it on Jesus' feet and washed it with her hair. And here's hundredfold return, proving that when you give a whole year's salary, God's going to take care of you, because here she is bringing more spices. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in and did not find the body of the Lord. I got to write that in there. It happened as they were greatly perplexed about this that, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. You're already free. And that's not going to help your insecurities at all right there. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and crucified, and the third day rise again? And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the disciples. Can you imagine what that sounded like with all those different women trying to tell the story all at the same time? And their words seemed to the disciples like idle tales, and they did not believe them. Oops. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb. Stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. And Luke didn't say a word about John. Now, I cannot stop at this point in this chapter. I don't believe I ever have stopped at this point in this chapter, because the next story is one of the greatest of the resurrection. It's one of the greatest stories. So we're going to read it. It's going to be good. You're going to enjoy it. Are you ready? So now you can add another reference, and that is Luke 24:13-35. Luke 24:13-35. 24, verse 13 through 35. All right. We just read 1 to 12, but you got to read the next story just because.
Yeah.
You can do it however you want. Now, 13. Behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. You know how it is. I mean, these are two of the disciples of Jesus, not necessarily the 12, but they're just walking along saying, what just happened? You've been there before. What in the world just happened? So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. You know how it is. Jesus just going to all of a sudden appear like he did to Paul or Saul of Tarsus and knocked him down in the dirt. You know, he woke him up. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? I mean, can you imagine the angels all around these guys with Jesus? I mean, think about the angels with Jesus, you know. The one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened here these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. We were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Isn't it something that they didn't say? And the soldier was nowhere to be found, because he wasn't. He said to them, thought they got it right here. Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Wait, let them be human. What do you think? You think they just turned and looked at him like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like, who are you? I mean, come on. They're in the deepest of grief, shock, and bewilderment. Jesus was untouchable for 3.5 years. And yet, here he is, and they're like, who's this guy? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. Remember, it's 7 miles from Emmaus to Jerusalem. So they got a ways to walk. Jesus can do a lot of talking. Maybe that's what I need. Y'all come and I'll walk you clear to Watford. That's a good long distance to talk. Then they drew near to the village where they were going. And Jesus indicated that he would go further. They constrained him, saying, abide with us. Chris toward the evening and the days spent, and he went in to stay with them. They had good hospitality. Came to pass as he sat at the table with them that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened. I love it. And they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. I mean, it doesn't say it, but they're like, oh, Jesus, where did he go? And they said to one another, did our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they finished their pizza and rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. You can't stop. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, peace to you. Ready? Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive us for being frustrated we don't know you. And you've given us all of these promises that you will show yourself to us. You will show yourself. We must remember. We must remember. 37. But they were terrified, frightened, and supposed they had seen the spirit. Can you imagine? That room went from, oh, you saw him too? Woo! To, And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me. See, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. And when he had said this, he showed him his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. Fish and honey. It sounds like a good meal. And he took it and ate it in their presence. Can you imagine them guys in that room? And it's more than just 11. It's 11 and those that were with them. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all these things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he added the Psalms there. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scripture. Want to say it? Open my understanding. Open my understanding that I might understand the scripture. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. So there he is saying the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And he left. And then Luke jumps all the way forward to the day of the ascension, which was 10 days later. And he led them out as far as Bethany and lifted up his hands and blessed them. Came to pass while he blessed them, he was departed from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. John chapter 20. How do you stop? We love you, Jesus.
We are glad you're enjoying this, Audrey. It is good.
John 20:19 through 31. I just love it. I am experiencing the manifest presence of God right now. Isn't that amazing? It's like rich. It's like that velvet feeling again. It's like the atmosphere is velvet. Just reach your hands up right now and start to receive it. It's not just here with me. It's there with you if you receive it. It's not a feeling. It's the experience of his presence. It's just like... it's like the air is velvet. Wow. John 20:19. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace be with you. When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord, ask him to reveal himself to you. Say it, Lord, reveal yourself to me. I want to know you. Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. And he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Don't be that person. Can I get an amen from anybody? Don't be that person. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them and said, peace to you. Guess what? Thomas is with him. Then he said to Thomas, reach forth your finger and look at my hands. Reach forth your hand and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And that's you and me.
Yeah.
You and me. You may have seen Jesus. I don't think I've actually ever seen Jesus, but I was in the room one time when he showed up and came in the room. Do not forget what God has done for you. Verse 30. Truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Interesting statement, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Now go to John 21, and let's go to 24 and 25. John 21, 24 and 25. This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. There are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. Should we read one more verse? I got to read one more. Three more. It's Acts 1, 1 through 3. Acts 1, 1 through 3. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. God wants to show you and me an infallible proof. A I was listening to a message the other day. And said, I have a member of my staff who it is their responsibility to remind us of what God has done. Wow. How perceptive is that? Your assignment is to keep track of everything that happens, become our historian, and then remind us, cause us to remember, It's all through the Bible. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Remember them. Choose to remember. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, what a night. I know that you've enjoyed it like we have. I'm not asking you to take it out and tell your pastor he has to have a good Wednesday meeting. I'm not telling you this so you go change your whole world. I'm telling you this, giving you permission to believe the Bible. And in the day that you and I live, one of your greatest assignments as a believer is to make the statement, I know this is what I've always believed, but what does the Bible actually say? What does the Bible actually say? And in that, we'll go back to our first verse in John chapter 8. If you abide in my word, you will be my disciples. And you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. And I know that tonight the truth of God's word has come forth. And it sets you free. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, lift your hands. Matter of fact, you say this with me. Jesus, thank you for showing us the truth.
Thank you for showing us the truth.
You are the truth.
You are the truth.
You are the life and you are the way.
You are the life and you are the way.
And I receive you into my life.
And I receive you into my life.
I will live and walk in the truth.
I will live and walk in the truth.
According to the word of God.
According to the word of God.
Thank you that you love me.
Thank you that you love me.
Thank you for your mercy and your grace.
Thank you for your mercy and your grace.
I choose to walk with you.
I choose to walk with you.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen. And amen and amen and amen. And one more. Amen. Now, let's receive communion together. We do this every time we come together. Sister Phyllis reminded us the other night, that's well over 1,600 times we've received communion together. Nothing to brag about, but it's certainly something to be honored that you were a part of it. I mean, you know how many people since COVID, since the pandemic, haven't even been able to receive communion because they don't know they can receive it in their home because their church closed and there's nothing else in the community and they haven't gone anywhere else and they're just sitting in their house bewildered. In the mighty name of Jesus, all of you bewildered people, find us and be no longer bewildered. In Jesus' mighty name. So, here we go. Let's receive the 62nd lady. She'll be done in 60 seconds.
Whoa.
And hit that button. Share the screen. And we'll put the communion document right up on the screen where you can see it. There we go. I knew she had one more thing to say there. Here we go. What we're going to do is read the verses. These are the communion verses that Jesus gave to the Apostle Paul when he met him out in the wilderness. And these are the instructions for communion that are found in the Bible. You'll notice that these are written to you and I personally, not to a bishop, an elder, or to a pastor. Verse 23, read it right out loud in your home. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, Jesus' redemptive work, till he comes. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Oh. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. God's love is perfect. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love.
Perfect love
casts out fear and its torment in Jesus' name. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. So today, be made perfect in him. I like that statement, don't you? And now the prayer of salvation. This isn't the only prayer of salvation. This is the one that Holy Spirit gave us to pray. And it's different than most other prayers you hear, but it doesn't matter. It's what he gave us, and this is what we do. If you say this from the depth of your heart, in 2 minutes, you'll be right with God. You'll be a new creation, and you'll be, you will have the righteousness of God imputed to you. Let's pray it with me. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day for me. Reach out your hands and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you. That none of my sins are imputed against me. I have been made a new creation in you, Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire, so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. The screen says, pause and shout. Hallelujah. I'm accepted in the beloved. Isn't it amazing what you begin to experience on the inside of you? This is what's going on. Darkness turns to light because Jesus, the light of the world, just came to live within you. Fear turns to faith because Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, just came to live on the inside of you. You are made into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you are an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus. So much more than just fire insurance. You just had God Almighty come and make his abode. And he's now going to lead you from the inside out. You might say, Pastor, I don't even know how to walk with God. None of us did. But God knows how to walk with you, and he just came and made his abode inside of you. And now he's going to guide you from in here every day. Begin to talk to God our Father as your Father, because he's the Father of us all. There's some verses you can study and read, meditate in, speak them right out loud. Here's my email address. Send me an email. Say, Pastor, I got born again tonight. I'll send you some YouTube videos and some playlists. You can study the Word of God with us just like we did tonight. There's our website, samueljcottle.com. Click like, subscribe, and hit the bell in all our places so that you can be connected to us everywhere we go. You've got to be connected to the body of Christ somewhere. Somewhere. If you're with us tonight and you're a believer and this is the first night you ever prayed to receive the Holy Spirit and you're like, wow, I just received the Holy Spirit. That's glorious. Tell us about it. We have a testimony page that you can be connected to. Tell your testimony. If you're a Christian and you're looking for a place to get you from one place to another and you need a place to put your tithe, bring your tithe there. You bring your tithe there, we put it right into the kingdom and we tithe it again and send it out. Put it right into the kingdom. We're serious about the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name. God is good. And he just came to live inside of you. Now, you're ready to receive the communion element. So, get you some bread and some grape juice. Fruit of the vine, hold them up. I got me an oyster cracker. It seems to disintegrate the fastest for me because I'm still talking. And let's hold them up and let's receive them together. The words are on your screen. Say them with me. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread representing your broken body and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Say this out loud. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord. And by your stripes, I am healed in my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, and my will, and in my emotions. There is nothing missing and nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supplied in my body, from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me for this prayer. I receive the bread, your body broken now, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive the bread. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you endured the cross, despised the shame, and you considered it all joy. You named that scene. Thank you, Lord. And now, I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your bloodshed, to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus,
I come boldly
to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. I want to say this. Open your eyes and read the words on your screen. A lot of people don't know that when you pray, you can actually have your eyes open. Not expecting you to have all this memorized when you come here. Open your eyes and read these words with us. By your blood, Jesus, every plague, every curse must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged. My robes are made white. And I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me, I receive the fruit of the vine now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Let's receive just a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that every person that has ever received communion with us is covered in your blood. And whether or not they understand churchianity or religion or religiosity, they receive the life. And every time they ever receive communion with us, it produces life in them. In a dream, in a vision of the night, show it to them. In Jesus' mighty name. Sing with me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 What a night. Father, we pray for Sister Rebecca. Strength and healing in her body. Brother Roger, strength and healing in your body. Lay your hands on yourself, whoever you are, wherever you are. Say, organs work. Organs work. Right? Lift your hands and say, I receive the healing power of God manifesting in my life right now. I declare, as a man of God, anointed by God to see, set the captive free, healing and health and strength comes to you right here, right now, today. Raise your hands and receive it. In Jesus' mighty name. Speak it over Tony. I speak it over Audrey. I speak it over those who want to be with us and for whatever reason they're not with us tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, receive the blessing and the presence of God in your name, Jesus. In your name. Huh. Say this. I speak over all my children. The angels of God surrounding them.
The angels of God surrounding them.
The blood of Jesus protecting them.
The blood of Jesus protecting them.
And they will fulfill their mission on this earth.
And they will fulfill their mission on this earth.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name we
pray. Amen.
Amen. And amen. And amen. Brother Richard, Sister Rebecca, Brother Roger, Sister Sunday. There are six principal calendars in current use, the Gregorian, the Jewish, Islamic, Indian, Chinese, and Julian. How do we know which one is in sync with the Bible times? Well, it's probably the Jewish, I would imagine. I would think that's the closest one to the Bible times. And, you know, everything then was by the moon. The sun, moon, and stars were given to us for signs and for season, for days, and for years. Whatever Gregorians deal with, who knows? All those other guys. Everybody's got to be their own deal. So this we know. Today is the day of salvation, no matter what calendar you have. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, there we go. Until we see you again, which will be tomorrow morning for prayer, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, right here on this YouTube channel. Come and be with us. We pray for the nation. Isn't that something? I don't usually see this. Father, in Jesus' name, protect President Trump, whatever he's at and whatever he's doing right now. As a matter of fact, I speak protection over every political person that is, it, with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength, doing their best to stand up and make a difference in the United States of America. Give them righteousness, give them holiness, and give them the bold courageousness of the most mighty warriors that this nation has ever seen.
Amen.
And may they say, in Jesus' name, we're doing. In Jesus' name we do. I remind you, do not say this is the devil's comet. Because all of the stars, even those that fall, belong to Jesus. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. And so, that comet doesn't belong to anybody but Jesus. And we will not be afraid. Jesus, buddy. Well, oh, that's, I knew we were missing something. It's like, what are we missing? Sister Phyllis. We missed you the whole time. I keep telling her I'm going to give some verses about the blood of Jesus. And this is it. Christ came as the high priest of the good things to come, the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. If the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh. You ready? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. And tonight while you sleep, I declare dreams, visions, and revelations come to you in great fullness. God seals your instruction inside of you. And just daily you say, I'm just going to go do that. And you're going to do it, and it's going to work because it's just led by that inner witness inside. Till we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this. We love you.
And
God loves you. And Jesus is you. Make sure you like, subscribe, and hit the bell so you can be connected with us. In Jesus' mighty name. See you soon. Brother Dan, Sister Audrey, it's just all y'all.